Hey, everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on FinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, y'all. Tim Miller from the Bulwark here. I woke up on the West Coast to just, you love it when you take out your phone and there's something that brings you joy in the morning. That's so rare these days. That's so often that you're doom scrolling, and I like to joy scroll. And that happened for me because Slayer Pete Buttigieg was on CNBC's Squawk Box. If you don't know that show, it's the morning financial show. It's kind of like the Fox and Friends of CNBC. And, it's not like Fox and Friends in the sense that it's all right wingers. There is a single person that kind of reflects the Ducey view on Squawk Box. His name is Joe Kernan. He and Pete got into it on the state of the economy, the war in Iran, and it was delicious. I've already on social media offered to welcome both of them to the Bulwark YouTube page, where hopefully they could do a longer version. Like, I want to see like a Joe Rogan podcast length engagement between Kernan and Buttigieg. Give me 3 hours. I can host it. I'll just kind of just fade into the background and let them go. Just kind of direct the conversation. We'll see if they take me up on that. But if you have not had this joy yet, or even if you had already and just want a second helping, I figured we should go through some of the highlights of Pete showing how you do it when, you know, you're arguing with somebody that's trying their best to rationalize their support of Donald Trump and MAGA. Just really quick before we go into it, please subscribe to the feed. Help us out here. We're trying to get up to 2 million subscribers. And also, like, part of the reason why I'm showing this is I've been on this, like, the Democrats in this moment, Donald Trump is vulnerable. The arguments of people on his side are as weak as they've ever been. Democrats need to be going into more challenging spaces. It's something that I'm trying to do myself, but that I like that you need actual Democratic politicians doing. And, so I want to, you know, give out candy to the ones who are doing it right. And Pete, is obviously like the prime example of this. So, let's watch this together. We'll play some of the highlights from Pete and Joe Kernan.
I understand that.
And look, I'm saying this as somebody who knows what it's like to be sent to war.
Yes.
By a U.S. president. Okay. And when a president sends you to war, when you and your buddies are on that gray tail plane going into a war zone, you do it with some level of confidence, some level of assurance that your chain of command, all the way up to the President of the United States, would not do this if they didn't
have a choice. Now that we're there, do you hope this has a successful outcome? There were 40,000 Iranians that were slaughtered by the same regime. 47 years of killing Americans, stirring trouble all around the world.
And how do you feel about that regime being left intact by this president?
I don't know if that's going to be the case, and I don't know what might happen.
All right. So, like, right before this clip, just to give you guys the context, like, Pete is making the case against the war and why it's stupid. And Kernan is trying to interject and do the thing that these guys do, which is like, oh, you're rooting against the country. Like, you want us to, like, our soldiers are so good. Why don't you respect the troops and the soldiers? And Pete's like, fuck you. I was a soldier. I was a troop. I know what it's like to go over there. And I wouldn't have wanted to be sent to a war zone for something where the leadership in charge didn't have a plan for success or didn't have a clear rationale for doing it or hadn't thought through some of the obvious contingencies, like the closing of the Strait of Hormuz, right? Like, this is obvious. And so I think Pete, like, having credibility there is very important. I think it's pretty telling that Kernan, like, falls back on this, like, don't you want us to succeed? Don't you want America to succeed? Pete's counter to that is pretty good. It was just like, well, like, we haven't succeeded. The regime is still intact. I would, like, kind of add on top of that, like, yeah, America succeeding means not starting dumbass wars that make us weaker economically and geopolitically and alienate our foes. Like, this is not the path to success. Like, this is the path to fucking ruin. Like, yeah, I want America to succeed. Don't you want America to succeed? If you want America to succeed, why are you on board with this stupid fucking war? All right. Anyway, let's, the conversation pivots then more to what you'd expect them to be talking about on a morning finance show, which is the state of the economy. So let's watch some of that.
Is that an argument?
So you don't want this to work, and it was just a bad move. You want us to pull out now?
Look, there's no obvious way out now, but I want to make sure that this ends in a way that, first of all, our economy can recover, that we're not paying so much for gas. I mean, right now, oil's $100, jet fuel's $200, gas is over $4, diesel's
you
like
$5.50. You averaged $3.80 under Biden for 4 years.
Yeah, and when we left, inflation was lower than it is today.
You accounted for 21.5% pricing.
This president took the inflation rate up. This president took the inflation rate up.
It's
more than 3% year on year. You saw the numbers just come out. It's more than 3% year on year.
Okay.
Isn't it?
Core
in the state?
It is. The math is direct.
Yeah. Okay.
It fluctuates each month from 2.7 to 3%.
It's higher than when he got here,
it's
Joe.
It's not 9%.
So Pete begins by talking about the impact of the war on gas prices and you know the impact on people domestically. And like that is significant. Gas prices are getting expensive in Louisiana, but damn, I'm here in California. And it's like, I don't even know how people who are on out, like, I don't know how working people afford this. I don't know how you afford this if you have a kind of hourly pay job or if you're on a fixed income as a senior. Like, how do you go places? The gas is already that expensive, and it's only going to get worse. My colleague Catherine Rampell pointed out today that gas prices rose 20% in March from the higher prompt of month. This is the single largest monthly increase in gas prices since we began measuring it. The biggest gas price increase since we've been measuring it last month, March, and it's getting worse. And, you know, Kernan's response is, well, gas was also expensive under Biden. It's like, okay, bro. all right. But like, what about now? What about what we're doing now? Pete and then go kind of back and forth, and they have this kind of crosstalk fight over the inflation numbers. And, you know, at the end, Andrew Ross Sorkin, who, if you don't know him, is totally really down the middle, smart economics reporter, is just like, dude, this is just the math. Like, the math is the math. Inflation is up.
This piece of it is basic. The president did say that he wanted to be in office to bring inflation down, and he has not brought inflation down. That's all.
It's not just that, like, Trump hasn't brought prices down. It's that, like, the rate of increase now is up from where it was when Biden left. So, I don't know. I mean, some of the stuff you get into dorky econ talk, and it feels like they could have been on an AEI panel hashing this out. Like, I'm not sure this is the most resonant thing with voters, most resonant part of the exchange. But, like, it's pretty funny that is, like, the position of Kernan is so weak. The position of the Trump defenders in the economy is so weak now that, like, they really are forced to resort to. But what about 2022? It's like, well, we'll see how that works.
And his central campaign promise was he was going to take inflation and drive it down, and instead he took inflation and it's up.
I thought the Fed,
it was three when he got here, and now it's more. It could not be simpler than that.
It's around three, and we're involved in a war.
He said on day one it would go down. He came in on day one, and now it's up.
It's up to 3%. It was 21.5% price increases.
He promised it would go down
over 4 years. Over 4 years, it was 21.5%.
He promised it would go down.
Democrats own the affordability crisis.
Listen to me.
Period.
Why did the president fail to keep his
promise? You don't think Democrats own the affordability crisis?
Why did the president fail to keep his promise to lower prices, in your opinion?
I'm laughing because this piece of it is basic. The president did say that he wanted to be in office to bring inflation down, and he has not brought inflation down. That's all.
He drove it up. He not only failed, he drove it up.
Mr. Secretary, let's talk
tariffs
a little bit.
Tariffs have had a minimal effect.
You tell a family where I live that $1,000 per household is minimal.
From the 21.5% increase that the Democrats.
No, we can argue all day about just how bad COVID was and how bad it got and what it took to come back from that. But you call it where I live, $1,000 per household isn't minimal.
Now Democrats found religion on inflation. After presiding over the worst inflation in 40 years, now you found religion.
It's 2026. They're in charge. You guys are in charge.
I'm aware of that.
What are you going to do differently?
All right. I mean, Pete does the job here. But like the funniest part is just like the desperate, angry Kernan with like caked on makeup on his face being like, Democrats own the affordability crisis. Democrats own it. It's just like, man, a year ago, I would have been annoyed by that. 6 months ago, I might have been kind of mad about it and felt like we have to fight on this. We got to argue. And she's like, nobody believes this. Like, who believes this anymore? Like, only people that are full in the cult and have, and that the Democrats have no chance of ever winning over, right? Like, there's some percentage of Americans that Democrats will never win over. And so those people might be able to soothe themselves and suck on their thumb by being like, the Democrats own this because of what happened after COVID 4 years ago. But that just isn't how politics works. Like, in order to win over people who aren't in your cult, you have to have a explanation for them or a message or a plan. And so just like, the Democrats did this all in 2022. It's like, sorry, bro, that's not going
to
work.
Bulwark Takes is sponsored by Soul. Now, if you've been listening to our show for a while, you already know how much I love Soul's out-of-office THC gummies, as well as their sparkling beverages, perfect for the summertime. Now they're launching something new, mood gummies. Now, lately, I've been more mindful about how I want to feel when socializing, winding down, or just living my life. Instead of defaulting to a drink and hoping for the best, I've chosen Soul's new mood gummies. Whether I need a little spark to go out or something to settle down at night, they've got the perfect options to make me feel just right. Soul is a wellness brand that makes delicious hemp-derived CBD and THC products designed to make feeling good simple. Soul's new mood gummies have precise dosing, clean ingredients, and formulations designed for predictable effects, so you can choose how you want to feel while staying in control. If you're looking for a bright, social, and energizing buzz, and who isn't, go with the Uplift Gummies. That's 3 milligrams of sativa THC plus CBG. It's perfect for daytime plans or just beating the afternoon slump. And when it's time to wind down, the Mellow Gummies deliver 3 milligrams of Indica THC and CBN. It's ideal for cozy nights and fully unplugging. Make today a good day. Get yourself some Soul Gummies. Right now, Soul is offering our audience 30% off their entire order. 30% off. Go to GetSoul.com and use the code BulwarkTakes. That's GetSoul.com. Promo code BulwarkTakes for 30% off.
All right. And then we circle back to kind of the public opinion part of this and whether Kernan's arguments are working. Let's listen to that.
We got to get through this war. And you've heard people...
We got to get through this war. We didn't have to be fighting this war. What are we doing?
That's a matter of opinion. You can't say that.
It's a matter of opinion that I share with most Americans and a large number of Republicans and a whole bunch of MAGA people who bought into this president because they actually believed in what he said. He's got 75%
Republican approval for the war.
You don't start with the approval you have within your own party. But the point is the MAGA coalition...
Democrats aren't going to approve of anything.
I'm talking about Americans. Americans disapprove of the president and their right to do so.
He's got the same approval rating other presidents have had at this point in the term. A little bit above,
this
42%.
Right now is unpopular for very good reasons, one of which
he's
is
no
that
more
he's
unpopular
made life
than Obama
more
was or Biden was at the same term of at the same point of his presidency.
That depends on which polls you're looking at, but by and large, no. I'm sorry, but like I've been out on the trail. I was in Marjorie Taylor Greene's district. Marjorie Taylor Greene. This is a Trump plus 38 district. Or it was.
I've seen, I know
we had
the numbers.
500 people. Still.
You'll get a chance to prove that in November this year.
Came. We had a chance to prove it last week.
The Senate might go. I understand.
Yeah, because people are
presidents.
My favorite part about that clip is Pete just going back at him with, we didn't have to be fighting this war. And Joe's like, we got to get through this war. He's like, we didn't have to be fighting it. You can't do that. Like that. Like this whole doesn't work now. Like this shit worked in the first Bush term with the Iraq war. Like it stopped working in the second Bush term. This idea that like we've got to stand with our men and women in uniform and we got to get through the war and win. It's like nobody knows how we're fighting the war. There was no 9/11. There was no imminent threat. There was no case made by the president. It's like you started a war that nobody knows why. It was a stupid war. It hasn't been a success. And everybody's feeling pain now. And your message is, well, we got to get through the war. You got to deal with the pain. You got to suck it up. I just, the body language between Pete and Kernan in this section is just so telling. Like Pete is like a little bit exacerbated, but also laughing and like always just very sharp on his points. And Kernan is just huffing and puffing and, you know, getting redder and his body, you can feel it, see him tensing. He's tensing. And it's just because they don't have it. Like the points are weak. They got no case to make. So long story short, this isn't your moment to go pick a fight with your MAGA friend that's never going to come around. Okay, I'm not saying that. But it is a point for Democrats commentators like myself and for you in your life. If you have people that you think are gettable, you think are reasonable, kindly, softly beginning to engage them in these conversations, maybe useful. Might be a transition period we're in. You know, I went on a Barstool podcast earlier this week, and there's one Republican guy on there, and then one like really left guy, and then another guy. I don't know if he actually says what his politics are, but seems like pretty Democrat. And the Republican guy, I was just kind of, I didn't go at him like I'm on the Piers Morgan show, like screaming at these fucking moron act like moron hack pundits. Like, you know, he's a sports guy. And he's just a Republican. And Sidus was like softly like asking some questions. Like, what do you like about what's happening? Like, what do you think would have been worse from Kamala? Like, isn't the economic impact like not worth what we're getting out of the actions of the Middle East? Just that kind of stuff. It's a good time to engage with people because they're running out of ammo. And that's a delicious treat. All right, one more last one. Pete ends with a really strong message on affordability and corruption. That is something that I've been desperate for Democrats to really pound. So let's watch that.
Presidents make difficult decisions, obviously.
Yeah, but usually they make difficult decisions to try to make other people better off. This president's made decisions to make himself better off. That's definitely happened. If you're the kind of person who can pay $1 million for the entry fee to Mar-a-Lago, then you're doing great. But everybody else is hurting right now.
And that's it. Like, on top of the fact that people's lives are worse, you know who's still making money? Trump, his family. You know, people that can pay the Mar-a-Lago dues. They're making bank. Well, everybody else is fucking paying $6 gas out in Fresno. All right. So I that is compelling. It's something that people understand. And, as usual, Slayer Pete is nailing it. So I hope you enjoyed it. My colleagues are going to be all around this weekend. We got that big election in Hungary coming up on Sunday, which we will be covering. I'm on a brief vacation. I'll be back on the feed on Tuesday. So we'll see you all then. Like I said, subscribe. Heck of a job, Mayor Pete. See ya. Bye.
Hey, everybody. Lady Luck here. And we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.